This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Welcome in, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a Wednesday. Friday for one of us, but it's Wednesday for a couple of us. Great to be here with you guys this morning. Thanks so much for listening on your radio, on your Odyssey app, watching us on the YouTube feed. You can go subscribe. You don't have to pay anything. Just go subscribe to YouTube. Just click subscribe. So that way you're part of the Ben and Woods online, I guess on camera community. And you get to see our reactions and our faces, our double chins, or whatever you want to see. I don't know why you would watch, but I think you get more from it. I do. I'll be honest with you. I think to watch people's reactions, to watch when one of us zones out or something, it's can be pretty interesting. Exactly. And I do it too. We all do it. No one's perfect, certainly. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. And Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Happy anniversary to you, Benjamin.
Thank you very much.
20 years, buddy.
20 years of Channel 10 on the desk. They honored me last night during our two newscasts, the 11 o'clock and the post-debate 8 o'clock newscast.
Yep.
And it was very nice. Kimberly Hunt said some really nice things about me, and I got to enjoy my moment and soak it all in.
I would like to
20
hear.
Years.
Does that feel better when she compliments you than if, like, Woods compliments you?
Yes.
Why?
Well, because she has the authority and credibility of San Diego.
As do I.
As an icon and legend of San Diego.
Just wondering.
All right. What did she say?
She actually called me an icon.
She called you an icon.
She says, you're an icon now.
It's an uncomfortable...
Sex symbol.
Yeah, sex symbol, sex pot, if you will. Does it make you uncomfortable when people say those things? Because I did that podcast on Friday night at East Tavern Village and Bowl. And they're kids, man. These young guys from the Divine Sports Gospel podcast. They introduced me as San Diego sports radio legend. And I was like this. I didn't even look up. I just had my head down the whole time. I was like, you guys throwing around the legend word. I've only been doing this 6 years or something. Like, so yeah. Yeah. I mean, it makes me uncomfortable. I don't like it at all. Really? I really don't like it because I know better. I know absolutely. I know better. But icon's a good one. But 20 years, yeah, man, 20 years. I think you've earned that.
It's hard to believe. I still feel kind of like that new kid who had never been in TV a day in his life
right. When
I took the job at Channel 10. Like, my first television job was
the
sports anchor at Channel 10.
It's the same one.
And here I am 20 years later with the same. I'm still in my first TV job. So
You got 20 more in you?
Yeah, do you have 20 more in you?
I don't know that any of us in media have 20 more in us.
Would you sign up for another 20?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you?
If they let me, I think I would.
But you had to work it. As long as you were alive, you had to work it. So that you'd be 69 years old.
There's very little I don't like about the job. I mean, I get to go in and I get to talk sports. I get to watch sports every single day. It's what I would be doing anyway if I was at home, but
true.
I get paid for it.
It
really was the reason I went into this business, is that it's something that I was passionate about, would be doing anyway, so why not figure out a way to get paid for it while you're doing it? Which means, of course, when you get paid for doing something you love, you never really work in a day in your life.
What was your most memorable moment or story to cover, good or bad?
Other than the car almost hit.
Well, yeah, that's not, but that wasn't a story that I was covering. Honestly, I mean, it's a bit of an indictment on San Diego's sports scene. It was covering the Little League World Series championship and going to Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and being there, you know, following those kids as they brought home the title. I thought that was fantastic. We had a lot of special coverage since it was all on ABC, and it was a really special moment seeing those kids win it all. But I've had some plenty of bad things to cover as well in 20 years, the passing of Tony Gwynn, the moving of the Chargers, obviously, and that was a long, drawn-out process of having to cover that for years. Definitely not my favorite story, of course. But for the most part, I'd say the good has outweighed the bad.
Even if
the losses have maybe outweighed the wins that I've reported on over the years. Ultimately, in the job, the good has much outweighed the bad.
You know, it's funny, too. I was thinking about it yesterday because I could say the same thing for my career in music radio before. I was on the radio at the worst time in music history, especially if you're a rock and roll fan. And so people, I don't really look back. I look back at some of the fond memories of like hanging out with, you know, people like Hillary and making friends like Jack and Ciro and people like that. But when I look back at like the job, you know, hey, what was the best thing you ever covered? Like, what's the best song I played in 10 years? It was all garbage for the most part. Here's The Offspring coming up next. Again, The Offspring. Got to keep them separated. And I'm like, again, I have to play this. Marcy Playground, Sex and Candy, Capital City, Safe and Sound. I'm going to hear these songs on my deathbed, laying there on my deathbed.
None of those are bad songs.
They're all horrible. And I'm going to be laying on my deathbed. You got to keep them separated. So this era has been the best part for me, at least. The Ben and Woods era certainly has been miles away the best part. And certainly the Padres have helped accentuate that over the last 6 years. What an interesting team to cover. What an interesting team to watch. What an exciting team to watch when they play like they did last night. Still had you on the edge of your seat last night a little bit.
And what was the moment that it became an interesting team?
Manny effing Machado.
Signing with the San Diego Padres.
This is Manny Machado.
The day that I will never, ever forget. The day that changed the course of our show, the course of this franchise, the trajectory of all of our careers was that day. We threw caution to the wind. Jim Rome, we're sorry. We're cutting in today. I'm sorry. We're going to stay on the air. We're going to take phone calls. We're going to talk about this. And our pal, Tier 1B George, said on Twitter last night, he said it in August, and he reiterated it last night. Manny Machado made it cool to play for the San Diego Padres, and I don't think you can sum it up any better than that.
Made it cool to cheer for the San Diego 100%. Padres. It really was never cool to be a Padres fan.
Yep.
And then Manny got here, and now 164 home runs later, he has taken his place atop the franchise's all-time list. And we've seen and covered, as a show, the three of us, every single one of them.
It's such a cool feeling,
it
man.
Is.
It's such a cool feeling. And what a big one last night that, you know, and again, my kids robbed me of the moment live. Turns out.
Not on purpose.
Not on purpose. Turns out little kids need to go to bed at some point. And you have we're working on reading with Bo, and he is just crushing it. Crushing reading right now. Dad took the car to the pod. Dad met mom at the pod. I'm like, what is this pod that we're talking about? And the name of this little book is called The Bus. The red bus goes to the pod. I will see dad at the pod. What pod? Is what pod? What is a pod? I go, I don't know. Huh. This is your book. But he crushes it. Just nails it. Just rips through it. I'm so proud of him. He's worked so hard. So we read that book. We read another book. Go in, kiss Taylor goodnight, do the whole thing. I come back into the room and I go, what the hell just happened? I look at my phone. I got 100 texts. I'm like, what did I miss? I'm like, oh, I didn't. I did not miss it. So I had to rewind. And I'm watching it in reverse order. I see everyone go crazy. I'm like, I missed it live.
That's backwards high fives all the way through the dugout.
Honestly, Ben, it's one of the only home runs I didn't get to see live, you know, but it was awesome, dude. And I was so happy for him. And it's just a cool moment. And of course, most importantly, coming in a win, you know, coming in a win against a really, really good pitcher last night and a good team. So lots to talk about today, certainly, but I just loved that moment last night. Good for him. I can't wait to see Manny again and congratulate him in person and tell him what a great player he is. Sits right now. Nothing short of a miracle. It's just crazy.
You know, we've got our lifetime friendship contract behind Paul over there with Manny Machado. And while, of course, that's a bit tongue-in-cheek, I do feel a connection to Manny in that way. Not like as a deep personal friend, but as someone who's significant in our life because of the timing, as you said, of our show. And, you know, we were just getting kind of started and finding our footing when Manny signed. That was
the genius of it. They decided they're going to use
big moment
they're
gonna here.
They're not culpable,
guys,
for fixing games.
It's happening.
What?
Uh-oh.
Jeff Passan, check mark. Breaking. Free agent star Manny Machado has agreed to a deal with the San Diego Padres.
Wow.
League sources tell ESPN.
Shut up.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
So it's weird. Happening.
Oh, my God.
Really?
It's happening.
Yeah, oh, my God. What do we do? What do I do?
I don't know. We need some music or something.
Oh, my God. What a moment.
Yeah.
What a moment.
And just very, you know, you two losing your mind, me kind of being the underreactor of the group.
Yeah.
It was very us, that moment. And I think, you know, a defining
Holy
moment.
Holy ass word!
It was a blast.
For our show.
We did it! Manny Machado.
It was a blast.
All right, this is...
Sorry, Ben. Sorry, man.
Yeah,
this was
is
so
pretty
mad.
Big stuff.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm looking at it myself right now. Manny Machado has agreed to a deal with the San Diego Padres. Leak sources tell ESPN.
Crazy. Got off to such a slow start as a San Diego Padre. And the funny thing is, you know, what's he at, 164 now in his Padres career? Took Colbert 6 years to do it. Took Manny 6 years to do it. One of those seasons was the 60-game season, yeah. though. So, I mean, Manny's done it at a really consistent pace.
Manny's done it in less games.
Yeah, fewer games.
But Nate Colbert did it in a much tougher
much
stadium.
Much tougher part, 100%. Not, that's not to take anything away from Nate at all. But man, holy smokes, dude! What a cool moment last night. And again, you know, if they lose 6-3, you're like, oh, great, congratulations. But and you know, drove in a couple more runs as well to help them win.
Which means they don't lose.
Which means they don't lose. So it was a really, really nice dub last night. I think a much needed dub for our collective psyches as well.
All right, we'll get into all the game. We'll set our menu coming up in our next segment. It is a Big League Wednesday, so it should be a very good program. I do want to say, of course, you know, a solemn and somber 9/11 to everybody out there. Have not, of course, forgotten 23 years ago today.
Bananas.
Never forget where I was that morning either.
Same.
As I'm sure most of us will always remember that, and those remembrances are going on right now in New York and Washington and Pennsylvania, as they do on this solemn day every single year. But I think for us here in San Diego, we can kind of enjoy what happened last night and have a good normal show for everybody.
No doubt.
All right, we will get into it coming up next. Kelly's got traffic. Appreciate you joining us on this Wednesday on Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Wanted to also offer an early, since I'm going to be gone the next couple of days, early happy birthday wish to Paul Reindel.
Yes.
I'm going to miss it, right, when I'm gone. Your
yes.
actual birthday is on
Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah. So we won't, none of us will actually be here, but I just say happy birthday, Paulie,
well,
and
you.
Congratulations on first place, is that true, in your Tier 1 basketball league?
For now.
For now.
Yeah, hopefully we can hold on to that.
It's ominous sounding.
Well, I mean, it's no. We didn't finish the season. Or
you're not.
Like
yes,
that.
You're currently
we took over first place.
First
yeah.
place. You're in the pennant race.
Grit squad. Last night.
Grit squad.
We were 5-1. We were playing the number one team. They were 5-0, and God, they had a couple of good players, but we punched them in the mouth. We were up like 22-7 at one
Ooh,
point,
love it.
And they chipped away and got it within like 6 to 8 points, and it was back and forth, a lot of S talking and
like that.
Loved it, and yeah, great game.
Paulie said there was one guy that wouldn't even shake hands after the game.
This little fat guy. I got into it with him. My boy Tom got into it.
You don't hear
with
that
him.
A lot in basketball.
Zach got into it with him.
If you're listening, sir, I apologize for that personal attack.
I don't apologize.
But
you suck. He shot a three from like 6 feet behind the line, and you know, you close out, and I kind of like as he landed, I just kind of put an arm on him.
Yeah.
He goes, watch that effing forearm. And
whoa,
I said,
whoa,
I said,
easy,
that's
Turbo.
That's called a closeout, guy.
Oh,
and
my
he's like,
God.
No, don't effing touch me. I'm like, well, shoot it again then and see what happens. He didn't shoot the rest of the time I was guarding him. So we go, you know, it was a chippy game. But, I mean, look, it's a lot easier after you win. We go shake hands and all that. They had one guy that just lit.
Maybe he just doesn't like
up.
To be touched.
Well, he probably shouldn't be playing sports.
Sounds
then.
Like
well, it sounded like he didn't
like
Paulie touching.
He doesn't
his
like
chest.
Any maybe does, any or his hand.
Or
that's
his hand.
Afterwards, he just doesn't like to be touched.
Yeah, so we go to shake hands, you know, handshake line, and three of us are like, "Where's that guy? Where is he? I want to make sure he knows." Hey, good game, buddy.
Yeah,
He had a shirt over his head.
Hoodie.
Pretending to, like, take off his shoes off in the corner. Totally, totally coward move.
I hate a sore loser, man. Yeah. I hate a sore loser as much as anything. If you whip my ass up and down the field, not up the court, because you're not going to see me on the court, but on the baseball field, you whip my ass, I will go right to you and say, bro, you pitched your ass off today. You absolutely pitched your ass off today. Great job. Yeah. I hate a sore loser.
That guy probably put up close to 40 points. I mean, just, he was unbelievable, and we just all our defensive energy was focused on him. I
hate that,
and
dude.
It worked. But
listen, be better, dude. It's adult ball. Just be better. It's fun to talk some smack, but just learn how to lose too, bud.
We may have a sore loser story later in the show today, talking about the Phillies and Tampa Bay Rays game.
Man.
Situation there, a little benches clearing incident we can talk about, go through our other activities and pennant race action. But first, coming up, before we set the menu, Paulie wanted to pay off the Incorporator because we had Jesse Agler on yesterday. And Woodsy, you gave him the Incorporator word. Let's give the setup again, everybody. We're going to go a little more traditional
Chick-fil-A
today.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A, the nugget of the game.
The nugget of the game. It was fantastic.
So
you could also work Chick-fil-A into this one, I think.
That's true. Yeah. You actually could.
Gentacular.
Gentacular. Gentacular is... I lost it.
How's it spelled?
Pertaining to breakfast. Gentacular.
Does it start with a G or a J?
A J. Gentacular.
Gentacular.
Okay.
So and, we go to the top of the third inning last night in Seattle. Jesse Agler and Tony Gwynn Jr.
So yeah, June 5th, the last time the Padres played a road game in their own time zone. That was the nugget of the game presented by Chick-fil-A San Diego. With 21 restaurants in San Diego, you're never too far from the home of the original chicken sandwich. Come try the honey pepper pimento chicken sandwich for a limited time. We've had, rush hour baseball this year. We've had even in Korea, pre-gentacular baseball.
Oh, my God.
All hours of the day and night here in 2024.
Crushed it.
Runner on first, one out.
Still
for
got the read in for Chick-fil-A.
I thought he was going to go with that honey pimento is not exactly a gentacular sandwich. It's more for later in the day. You want the gentacular options. You go with like the biscuits.
Have you had
in the morning? I have had the honey pimento sandwich.
It's really good.
I had one, and I will not allow myself another one.
Because it's really, really.
It's indulgent, yes. But it was good.
It's sensual. Actually, to eat that sandwich.
I don't know that the calories are worth it at the end of the day. It's like a 2,000 calorie
is it really?
Sandwich. It's insane. It's so good, though.
It's so good.
All right, coming up on the program today, we'll start with our Padres wrap-up in our next segment. Lots to get to, not just Manny's milestone home run, but obviously a huge game for Fernando Tatis Jr. Been waiting for that since his return from the injured list, and a decent outing from Yu Darvish as well. We'll talk about everything that happened last night in Seattle and avoiding that three-game losing streak that Woods was adamant about needing to avoid.
Yeah.
Padres did that, in fact, and we'll discuss the game. It is a big league Wednesday. Our guests include Adam Jones at 7:35, Brett Boone at 8:35, and we have our fingers crossed, just the old throw it out there on Twitter, because Paulie, who makes that great Big League Wednesday graphic, Brett Boone retweeted it last night, saying, knowing, hey, he's going to be on the show. And then Mike Cameron responded, goes, oh, this is so cool. And we said, well, come on the show, and Paulie's reached out to
Big League Wednesday?
Absolutely.
Anytime.
Love to have former both Padre and Mariner Mike Cameron on the show. Yeah. It would be great, but I don't think he's gotten back to Paulie yet, so we're just kind of crossing our fingers on that one. But if we could add to a Big League Wednesday with another big leaguer.
Or tomorrow when you're gone.
It'd be very cool. Well, anytime would be great time.
Friday when you're also gone.
Either way. Our usual features, of course, Take on Woods and Don't Do This in our 7 o'clock hour. And then Rindle Report in our 9 o'clock hour. And we've got more Parker McCollum tickets to give away as well. Coming to Cal Coast Credit Union Open Air Theater on October 25th. Give away another pair of concert tickets on the program today. And then get you ready for the final game of the two-game series. Padres could kind of that weird situation where they got swept here, too, by the Mariners. Now trying to return the favor in Seattle and have the road team win every single game of the season series.
Fine by me.
That'd be nice.
That'd be really nice.
Absolutely would be nice to see the Padres go. Although it wasn't entirely a road game for the Padres yesterday.
If you were
kind of listening and watching, there was, I think the crowd was around 25,000, 6,000, Sammy said last night. I heard at the end of the game, and There were a lot of Padres fans up there yesterday for the game.
I mean, they did the they started a Manny chant, and it sounded like it was at Petco Park. It was pretty incredible. So, Padres fans.
Where have they all come from? Where do you think? What's that? I mean, have they? Are these new Padres fans who didn't exist before the last few years?
Probably.
Are they? Is it because of Manny and Tatis? Is it the uniforms? What has brought so many people? So usually, like a championship, you get a whole, you know, a bandwagon crew of fans that join your team. But the Padres.
I mean, look, man, win or lose, the last few years, the Padres are must see television with the star power that has come through this city. Some of it traded away. Yeah, man, the gunslinging general manager, the drama with different managers coming in, expectations, superstar players, guys getting hurt, you know, blah blah blah. It's been must see TV. You know, I mean, my dad's a Yankee fan still, but I think he watches the Padres more than the Yankees, because if you watch the Yankees, they're just not that exciting of a team at all. And they're just not. And he's texting me about, oh my God, what an incredible walk-off. And I'm like, I'm telling you, they get in your bloodstream and kind of take over.
There does seem to be a phenomenon that the Padres are a different. They're like playing a different sport.
Yeah, they really are.
Some of the other teams. I mean, you listen to other broadcasts or TV telecasts of games, and they do sound kind of boring sometimes. But it never is with Jesse and Tony or Don and Mudd. It's always lively, entertaining. The games tend to be heartbreaking and exhilarating when the Padres play.
Yeah.
It's like the best form of baseball, and it has been for a few years.
Yeah.
Not the best in terms of always winning and you know, success and championships, but like the entertainment value of San Diego Padres baseball has been through the roof last few years.
They've been a reality show, and it's a shame that the Netflix special that we're going to see is going to be in regards to the Boston Red Sox. I think there's some interesting storylines, but they really dropped the ball by not setting up
killer play. When they succeed spectacularly.
Yeah. So
it's been that way for years now.
So I think, you know, and you know, a lot of people have left San Diego and moved up to Washington. A lot of people traveled for the games. Yeah, man, I think there's Padres fans everywhere. You see it all the time, and I think it has a lot to do with Fernando Tatis Jr. I think it has a lot to do with Jackson Merrill. I think it has a lot to do with Manny Machado, and, you know, on and on you go. But I think it had a lot to do with Juan Soto, you know, and I think it has a lot to do with A.J. Preller, you know, of bringing in some star power here.
Nice piece by Ken Rosenthal this morning in The Athletic on the general manager of the San Diego Padres.
It.
Yeah, just dropped this morning on the job that he's done this year. We can talk about that and more, but our Padres wrap-up, if you missed any of the radio highlights of last night's game, you're in for a treat. They are coming up next with Bennett Woods here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Before we get into the wrap-up, in case you missed it late, just quickly updating the wild card standings. Padres continue, of course, to lead the National League wild card. Diamondbacks remain one half game behind. And then the Mets and Braves are 2.5 games behind the Padres, 2 games behind the Diamondbacks, tied for the third and final wild card spot in the National League. The Mets were the only team to lose of those four last night. And I feel like that's going to be a common occurrence that, like, three of the four teams are going to win most days. But someone's probably going to lose. And you just don't want to be that one.
Nope.
Because as hot as the Mets are, and they are the hottest team over the last couple of weeks in baseball. They just had a 9-game winning streak. You feel really bad the day that you lose and everybody else wins.
It's a horrible sinking feeling.
It's got to be the worst feeling. Even though there's no reason for the Mets to panic. Again, most people yesterday said, yeah, they look like they're going to just roll and just keep going all the way to the finish line. And now they lose a game to everybody. And I'm sure Mets fans are going like, uh-oh, here we go. It'll happen to the Padres one day.
Oh, yeah.
Between now and the end of the season. They will lose a game, and probably two or three of those other teams will win. And you'll drop one. So, got to savor the days when you win and the games that you pick up the rest of the way. Last night was a good one in Seattle for the Padres. We'll go through our Padres wrap-up. All the highlights right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
And this pitch hit in the air to deep right field. Tatis is back, he's going to watch, and it's going to go. Long home run to right for Cal Raleigh. 30th of the season, and the Mariners take a 1-0 lead here in the bottom of the first. Darvish is launched in the air down the right field line. If it's fair, it's gone, and it is a home run down the right field line. Second of the night for the Mariners. They've got a 2-0 lead here in the bottom of the second inning. First pitch, Tatis lines it in the air to right field and deep. Robles is back. He's going to turn to watch. It's going to go! Three-run homer the other way for Fernando Tatis Jr. And the Padres hop on top. It's 3-2. Fires, man. He swings. Hits it in the air to center field and deep. Rodriguez is back. He will watch. It's going to go! Home run history for Manny Machado. His 164th in a Padre uniform. Now the most prolific home run hitter in the history of the San Diego Padres. Machado, first pitch swinging, lines one off of both and into center field base hit. First run, Solano has scored. Right behind him, Arise, a two-run single for Manny. I think it got both on the back or the shoulder and then just kind of shot out into center field. 7-2, now the Padre lead here in the seventh inning. Crawford hits it on the ground the other way. That's a fair ball up the third baseline. Turn around in third. He's going to score. Profar's throw will go into third base. An RBI single for J.P. Crawford. And the Padre lead is now 7-3. Fires and a ground ball to shortstop. Bogaerts on the backhand. His second one. Cronenworth turn to first is in time. And a double play to end the inning. 0-2 pitch. Swung on and missed strike three. 100-mile-an-hour heater as Suarez blows that one past J-Rod to earn the save and end the game. Padres over the Mariners tonight, 7-3. Historic evening for Manny Machado and an excellent start from Yu Darvish as the Pods set themselves up for a potential two-game sweep here tomorrow night.
You know what I saw about that at bat was the game will reward you, not all the time, but rewards you a lot when you're trying to do the right thing. You know, got a leadoff double by Pro, and he's grinding to really just make sure he moves him over. And he fouled off some really tough pitches. And then he got something that he could handle with the right intent, and he smoked it for the club record, passing Mr. Colbert. So congratulations to Manny on a couple fronts. You know, not only the franchise record for home runs, which we celebrate in the clubhouse, rightfully so, and what an accomplishment from a great player, but also off the field, it's a really nice day for Manny as well, being the nominee for us, the rightful Roberto Clemente nominee for our club. And he does, I get the privilege of watching him behind the scenes and how good he is with especially kids, and he just does a lot of things for our community. So well deserved. Hope he wins the whole thing.
Unreal night.
An individual milestone, but also a team milestone last night. Win number 82 for the San Diego Padres, which clinches the team's third straight winning season. And it is just the second time, Padres fans, in the history of your ball club that they have had three consecutive winning seasons.
It's hard to wrap your head around.
And yes, you know, last year doesn't feel like a winning season by any stretch of the imagination when you salvage an 82-80 record after a disappointing year. But, you know, technically they had a winning record last year and only a 2005, 2006, and 2007. Well, technically, I think it was 4 through 7, so they did it twice in that little 4-year span. But this is the second time in a different era that the Padres have won, have a winning record in three straight years.
It's a lot to like about last night's game. And I thought, you know, Yu Darvish was on the Martin Perez plan last night of bend but don't break, a couple of solo shots, don't kill you at all. You have the offensive firepower to come back. Did not panic early, didn't like the pitch Cal Raleigh hit out, just kind of floated up there. And, of course, he's going to make you pay when you do that. But I thought other than that, man, you got into some jams and got out of some jams, dotted the fastball when he needed to, spun it like he always does, and he went. He earned a win, yeah.
He did.
Yeah, got the dub.
So. And a milestone win as well, as Mike Schilt pointed out afterwards. It was his 201st career victory combined between Japan and the United States. And you remember it was months ago that he got number 200, and they made a big deal about that. But at the time, if you'll remember, he was also one behind Hideo Nomo, his idol and inspiration growing up, for second all time on Japanese and U.S. combined wins. So he ties Nomo at 201. I thought it's kind of similar to his first start, actually, in that he looked good at times and then would leave a pitch, in the middle, and he gave up one in the first and one in the second. Remember, he did that in his first start, and then he gave up another one in the third, and they took him out of the game. This time he got out of the jam and was able to make it through five innings. He was very efficient. His pitch count was certainly, to the point where I thought maybe he'd even come back in the sixth inning, but, Mike Schilt doing his aggressive, hey, I've got my bullpen, I'm gonna use it, I'm gonna unleash it, and started with Estrada and then went to the Scott and then Adam. You heard that highlight. What a huge moment that was. After the Padres seemingly had the game in control and they're up 7-2, Taylor Scott comes in and was not bad. Tanner Scott comes in, was not bad, but got squeezed by the umpire. He walked the first guy, that's on him. Then he gave up a bloop. Then he got squeezed by the umpire and gave up an opposite field, just a little, in on the hand single, and then another squeeze, and the bases are all of a sudden loaded, and they've got the tying run coming to the plate. There's one out, and the Mariners are thinking, we can come back and get into this game. Yep. And Jason Adam coming and getting that double play was absolutely huge.
Fantastic, man. And Tanner Scott, I don't know. It certainly didn't seem he wasn't real demonstrative about the missed calls, and he actually said after the game, he said, he's the judge of it. I can't say anything about it. It is what it is. You get some calls, you don't get some. And was a lot more diplomatic talking about it after the game than I certainly was while watching the game screaming at Laz Diaz behind the plate. I will say this, though. A couple calls went the Padres' way as well.
Diaz was bad and inconsistent. I think especially just inconsistent both ways.
Well, the strike three when they rang up Arozarena was the outside. Manny had two horrible calls against him. That
one in the at bat where he hit the home run.
In the home run, and then he's like fighting those pitches off. Gets one middle in, hammers it, and breaks the record. So yeah, really good, tough game. I thought Luis Arraez again. Luis Arraez is deserving of another discussion at some point, because I still see discourse about Luis Arraez, who just continues to get on base and set the table for the guys behind him. And he's
nine hits in the last three games, 3-3-3.
He's remarkable to watch. I just boil it down to this. I know he's not great defensively. I know that. I know he's not a slug guy. Okay. Like, he knows what he's good at. He's great at the hardest thing about the game of baseball. He's elite at the hardest thing to do in the game. He's elite at it. That, to me, says you're very valuable. We've lost a little bit of the plot here as we dive deep into OPS and OPS plus. Oh, his slugging numbers aren't great. Yeah, he's not a slugger. He's a hitter. He hits. He doesn't strike out. Puts the ball in play. It's such a valuable skill, and I struggle every time I see. I don't wade into the discussion anymore, but I think everyone knows you should know the value that a guy like that brings to your team.
He is
he extends innings. He they want to bunt guys over in front of him so that he can get them in. That's what he does. Or move guys over.
He's like an extremely useful tool.
Yeah.
But you don't always need. Sometimes, like, if you have a can opener, it just sits there most of the time. But when you need to open a can, there's nothing else that you would want.
You can't
other
have, nothing
than
else can do it.
A can opener. And when you need someone to get a hit, a single, make contact, not strike out, he's the best tool in baseball. Now, yeah, a lot of the time, the rest of the time, when he's out, is average or below average of a baseball player, out there.
Which,
if you need a home run, you're not going to get one from him. But when you need a hit, he's the best tool available in baseball.
You know, there's a lot of average or below average defenders in Major League Baseball. There's a lot. None of them hit like Luis Arraez. None of them. And they're all everyday players on teams. What he lacks in slug and what he lacks in defense or running, whatever it is, he makes up for with his hitting. You know, and watching him come up to the plate, the confidence that I have in him, that he's going to get a knock off George Kirby or Max Scherzer or Clayton Kershaw or Brewster Gratter, it doesn't matter. He comes up, he's an elite hitter.
I don't consider him a future Hall of Famer the way I did Tony Gwynn. I think there's a difference there. The hitting skills are somewhat similar. Tony was a more complete player and I think an even better hitter than Arraez was. But, you know, he may end up with who knows how many batting titles in his career. Tony had 8. Arraez is going for his third in a row and starting to put a little distance between him and the rest of the field in the National League. Three batting titles, 3 different teams in 3 seasons. I don't think has ever been done in baseball history. So he's definitely going to do something very unique this year if he continues on this pace.
I mean, there's so much to love about this team. Like, individual, right? Like, you look at, like, I'll say this. I love watching Jake Cronenworth play baseball. I love it. I love whatever position he's at. I just love watching him play. Is he the best player on the field? No. I love watching him play. There's something about him, the way he picks the ball, the way he turned that ridiculous double play last night, the way he could play multiple positions, the way he runs. I love the way he plays the game. I love watching Manny Machado hit home runs. I love watching Manny Machado play third base. I love watching Luis Arraez hit. I love it. It's so fascinating to me as somebody that could never hit to watch him do what he does at that level is mind-blowing.
And despite in all of those players that you enjoy watching, I would still contend that the most exciting player on the field for the Padres remains Fernando Tatis Jr.
Correct.
When he's healthy. And he showed again why last night, not just with the home run, which was a Tatis special, an opposite field shot, the kind of home runs that only a serious power hitter can do going that way. But the play that he made then in the 4th inning to cut down Polanco at second base, trying to stretch a single to a double, was so incredibly athletic, remarkable, instinctive, and perfect. That there's not much more that we need to say about it. You all saw it. I mean, you know, I think Sam Levin on the postgame show said, I don't know if there's another right fielder in the game that can actually make that specific play.
Yeah.
Because he almost looked like a shortstop making a play to his right, then throwing across his body to first base, but he did it from right field, which is even harder than doing it in the infield.
He can beat you a million different ways. Jackson Merrill's another one. I love watching him play the game of baseball. And you know, he's a more complete player than Luis Arraez is. It does not take anything away from what Luis Arraez does for me. I love the way he hits the ball. You kill for a guy like that on your team. Whether it's little league, adult league, high school, you kill. You murder for a guy that can do that. I mean, it's just such a brilliant, brilliant skill. And it's the hardest thing to do in sports. And really, he's top 2 at doing it. So I just, the discourse, I don't understand. I do understand the numbers. I understand that. I see your numbers. I see your WAR and your OPS plus, and I'm not discounting them. I love the players that excel in those areas as well. I do. But this guy, watching him hit is a revelation, especially in today's game. It's a revelation. You know how hard it is not to strike out in that league for that long? And it's not like he's hitting squibbers back to the mound every time.
Those people that have that opinion of Arraez, like, how would they feel about Tony Gwynn?
I don't know. Because he hit more doubles, maybe he's better. But he played great right field, and you know, he's more complete. I get that.
But
it's the same idea, at least
at the plate. Like, I mean, he is a contact
It's the same
hitter,
approach. Yep. Just trying
not striking to out, giving you a great at bat every single time. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I never will. As long as he keeps doing what he's doing, getting 3 hits a night, I won't understand what you're upset about. I really won't.
There's one other player that we haven't mentioned that I think was extremely critical to the game last night. Didn't do anything special on the field. In fact, I think he went 0 for 4 with a strikeout and maybe a couple of grounded to double plays. Yet, don't know if the Padres win without him.
True.
We'll get to that and take on Woods coming up next on 97.3 The Fan.